Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is a special series in the weeks leading up to Christmas where we're going over the messianic prophecies found in the Old Testament. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about a son of David from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Thanks for joining me today on the 10-Week Bible Study. This is a five-day-a-week Bible study to encourage you in your walk with God. My prayer and my hope is that this will be the catalyst in your life to encourage you to walk deeper with God by making reading and studying His Word a daily part of your life. Let's go ahead and pray before we get started today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? God, we want you to speak to us and touch us from your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Samuel chapter 7, starting in verse 12. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Now, this is a very interesting prophecy because here Samuel is speaking on behalf of the Lord in a prophetic role. He's speaking to David, directly to King David. And he's speaking specifically about King Solomon, the one that would follow David on the throne. But it's going much, much beyond that. He is talking about this kingdom that's going to be established forever. So we're kind of bookending this prophecy here where he's speaking directly to Solomon and saying he's going to be flogged and all this kind of stuff. He's going to discipline him. He's going to love him enough to discipline him. But bookending that is your kingdom's going to last forever and your kingdom is going to last forever. I love David's response to this. We're not going to read it, but David's response is, wow, Lord, you've spoken about my house for a very long time. Actually, he spoke about it forever, a very long time, is an understatement. And so how does the Lord make a promise to establish this kingdom forever unless there's something coming that's never going away? I mean, we know that the only things that, you know, are forever in this life are death and taxes. Those are the only constants. You know, I believe it was Albert Einstein said, in this universe, in all of my studies, I'm confident there's two things that are infinite in this universe, and that's the size of the universe and human stupidity. And he said, and I'm not perfectly confident in the first. You know, nothing lasts forever. So how can this last forever? How can God promise David that his kingdom is going to last forever? I mean, he'd just seen a kingdom rise and fall, and his kingdom had been such a struggle. How can a kingdom last forever? And the promise here is that there is a coming king who is going to sit on David's throne forever. This is one of the most important messianic prophecies about this kingdom. And very often I've found, especially Gentile believers, have difficulty understanding this kingdom of God. Now, if you're a Jewish person, not a Christian, maybe a Messianic Jew, you probably have a better understanding of this kingdom of God because it's so embedded in your culture that you've got a kingdom that's going to rule and reign over planet Earth forever with a king, the Messiah, who's going to sit on David's throne forever and rule and reign. This idea of kingship and kingdom is deeply embedded in non-Gentile Western Christian mindsets. But for us, if you're like me, you've probably grown up under the idea that Jesus was born in a manger and he came to save us from our sins. And that's kind of it. We kind of leave out all of the rest of it for the most part, at least in our normal thinking. We don't think about the fact that he's coming back as a conquering king to bring perfect justice and peace to the earth forever, where he is actually going to rule and reign forever. Now, it's going to be in this perfected state as that we understand it in eternity, but he is coming back to rule and reign with God on a throne in Jerusalem on the earth. That's like a something that's very disconnected from most Protestant Western Christian mindsets. And this passage is what brings that together. Jesus is one and the same. Yes, he came as baby Jesus and he was born, and he didn't sit on a throne of David while he was on this earth when he came. But he is David's descendant and he is that Messiah and he is going to come back and sit on this throne. Now, Jesus dealt with some of this when he came, and I want to read to you really quick from Psalm chapter 110, and Jesus quotes this when dealing with the Pharisees on this issue, because they're saying, you know, there's all of these discrepancies that they had with Jesus, or problems they had with Jesus, based on him being, you know, the Messiah. They knew he was claiming to be the Messiah, although he never came out and said that word to them. They knew that that's what he assumed himself to be in their mind. And so they had a problem with that in him, in that they're like, well, you know, you've got to be, you know, on the throne of David and all this kind of stuff. And he gives them this question and they can't answer it because they've never thought through this passage that Jesus quotes out of Psalm 110. Because if, you know, if David is the father of this kingdom, you know, how can one be greater than David? Let me read you the passage here. This is Psalm 110, verses 1 through 4. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. Arrayed in holy splendor, your men will come to you like a dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And there's a lot going on in that, but the thing that that Jesus, you know, kind of gave to the Pharisees when they were questioning who he was he says, listen, how can David, so this is David speaking here in this psalm. He says, how can David say, the Lord said to my Lord, if David is the father of the Messiah, why would he call the Messiah my Lord? They know that this passage is speaking of the Messiah. So why would David, who is greater, and in their understanding, you know, your ancestors are greater than you. Those who have gone before you are greater than you. So Jesus says, how can David say, the Lord said to my Lord? And he's speaking about the Messiah. If the Messiah is a descendant of David, as we've clearly seen, how can he be greater than David? And that's the understanding here that they were struggling with and they'd never actually wrestled through. They loved to study the passages about the Messiah, like in 2 Samuel, where he's going to be this conquering king. And even in this passage here, the last half of this passage, didn't read the last verse of Psalm 110, but I mean, like the Messiah is basically describes him as someone who's going to kick butt and take names. Like he's going to come in. And there is no two ways about it. He is going to forcibly bring justice on the earth. It will be perfect justice, but he's going to have to subdue all of the wicked people on earth forcibly to bring that about. Now, the Pharisees and the rabbis through the centuries, they loved that part of it. This whole part about the Lord said to my Lord and where he's a suffering servant, all of these things that didn't quite make sense, kind of pushed those to the side. But when Jesus come, he perfectly fulfilled these things. Jesus was the embodiment of every messianic prophecy in the Old Testament. The ones that people through the centuries have wanted to believe in and the ones that they didn't. Now for us Western Gentile Christians, and I'm trying to be specific because this is the only group that I know I'm a part of, you know, Eastern Christians or, you know, people that aren't part of the kind of American Christian Church or the Western Christian Church. I can't speak for them, so maybe they have a different mindset on this, but I know Western Christianity almost completely avoids the subject of Jesus returning and coming back as the son of David, the descendant of David, who is going to rule on this throne forever. Yes, Jesus came in his first advent that we celebrate at Christmas time to save us from our sins. And that is massive. That is massive. But what is even more important than that, as important as that is that he's coming back. He's coming back to sit on a throne to rule and reign. This idea of kingdom is huge. Jesus actually said, he's like, you know, the end isn't going to come until this gospel, my gospel, the good news of the kingdom is preached to every ethnicity, every ethnos, was what he said. Or the Greek of what he said. The end, he's not coming back. That's, all of this is not going to take place until every ethnicity has heard the gospel of the kingdom. And that gospel of the kingdom is what we're talking about here in 2 Samuel, is that there is a man who is going to come and sit on the throne of David and rule and reign in perfect justice forever. And yes, he is a conquering ruler. He is a king, and he's also a priest. I mean, all of these things come together that we see. And then they're all Jesus. He is a prophet, priest, king. He is the Messiah in every imaginable way, every way that the Old Testament prophesies about him. He fulfills it perfectly. He is Son of God and Son of Man. But he's going to sit on a throne. And that throne is actually going to physically be on a real earth. Many Western Christians, again, have this idea that you're going to in heaven for eternity. You're going to sit on a cloud, strumming a harp, being bored to tears forever. And that has nothing to do with reality in the Bible. That's what I like to call Hallmark Christianity. There's lots of comics and cards that portray that. That's not reality. The Bible tells us very clearly that we are going to be physical bodies, resurrected physical bodies, living on the earth forever under the rulership of Jesus in perfect justice. Life for eternity is not going to be wholly different than what we know now. It's going to be wholly better than what we know now. And that's because instead of all of the messed up, screwed up, failed governments and experiments and you know, political science throughout human history, we are going to have the one person who knows how to rule in perfect justice over us forever. Every single person in human history would have loved to have lived under the leadership of Jesus, or at least every single person who actually loves, you know, life and liberty and all of these things. You know, there's wickedness in people's hearts, and so they rejected him then, and there's going to be a great number of people who are going to reject him when he comes. We see that in the Bible. But for all eternity, those who have loved righteousness, loved the Lord, they would have loved to have lived under the leadership of Jesus, like we will live forever when he is truly taken. The fulfillment of all of these prophecies will come when he comes again, and he will take up his seat on the throne of David forever. And that is why we celebrate at Christmas, not just because of his first advent, not just because he was born God made man, not just because he came to save us from our sins, but he saved us to something, and that is to live with him forever in his kingdom on the earth, in perfect righteousness and perfect health. There'll be no more tears or crying or pain there for all eternity. That is what he came to save us to. He saved us from our sins, but what he saved us to is so far greater. So during this Christmas season, I pray that you will spend time meditating, that you'll find some time to think about what the Lord has saved you to, where you're going to spend eternity, and what that means for you and your family. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.